Israel and Judah. Chapter 6. Misappropriation of Funds. In the 6th and 30th year reign of Asa, Baasha king of Israel came up against Judah, and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa king of Judah. That was a critical situation, worse than any amount of private debt, for it threatened the very existence of the nation. If the king of Israel succeeded in building and holding Ramah, then he could command the whole of the kingdom of Judah and put it under tribute. All the traffic of the kingdom would be stopped, or be exclusively in the hands of the king of Israel. No one, from the king to the peasant and tradesman, could have anything that he could call his own. It was a desperate case, and called for desperate measures. At least the king of Judah thought so, and that promptly. Then Asa brought silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent you silver and gold. Go, break your league with Baasha king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon, and Dan, and Abelmain, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah, and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, and the timber thereof, wherewith Asa was building, and he built there with Geba and Mizpah. So the kingdom of Judah was delivered from the king of Israel, by the prompt action of Asa. At least it seemed to be delivered. Asa had done all that he could do, and the general opinion would be that he could not have done any less. He not only stopped the plan of the king of Israel and drove him away, destroying the city that was to command the commerce of Judah, but he guarded against any future danger by building Geba and Mizpah, or, to translate the words, a hill and a water tower. To be sure, he used the Lord's money with which to do it, but what else could he do? Perhaps he intended to pay it all back again with returning prosperity. That is the way man looks at the case. Now hear the truth of the matter from God. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because you have relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord your God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein you have done foolishly, therefore from henceforth you shall have wars." This was not a case of pique on the part of the Lord. He did not propose to punish Asa with wars, because he had relied on the king of Syria, instead of on him, but he merely told him, through his prophet, what would be the inevitable result of his foolish course, which to human short-sightedness seemed so wise and politic. Asa did not stop to consider that in bribing Ben-Hadad to break his league with Baasha, so that Baasha would be compelled to cease operations against him, he was simply placing means in the hands of the king of Syria, wherewith to attack him at some future time. For Ben-Hadad could break his league with Asa as readily as he had broken his league with Baasha. King Asa had simply postponed his trouble, but had by no means ended it. Here we have an exact parallel to the case of many who are in debt, and sorely distressed, perhaps not knowing even how to supply the wants of their family, to say nothing of paying their debt. Or it may be that they are not in debt, but they are in exceedingly close circumstances, and they can see no way out except to take the Lord's tithe, or other money belonging to him, and use it for their pressing necessities. They may say that they will pay it back as soon as they can, but even if they cannot, they must live. They cannot let their family starve. The case resolves itself into this. Shall we trust the Lord to use his own unlimited resources in his own way for our deliverance, or shall we seize upon a portion of his property to help ourselves? Enlightened judgment would say that the former was the wiser course. The one who takes the Lord's tithes to pay his own debts, or to keep himself out of debt, as he imagines, does not accomplish his purpose. He succeeds only in putting off the trouble, and the last case will be worse than the first. If Asa had trusted the Lord, and depended on him for deliverance from the king of Israel, he would have been delivered, for God has never forsaken those who seek him. "And they that know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken them that seek you." His promise is, I will not fail you. And the deliverance which the Lord wrought would have been decisive, as it was when the Ethiopians came against him, to which the prophet referred. See what took place then. An overwhelming force came against Asa. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with you to help, whether with many, or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. Now what was the result of Asa's trust in God? So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa, and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord, and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. What a pity that Asa did not remember that experience, and what a pity that we do not always remember and profit by the record of it. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. How many things were written aforetime concerning how God provided the necessities of life for his people. Think of the manna in the desert, and the water from the rock. Think of the widow's meal and oil, and of the provision for the payment of the widow's debt, and for her future living, in the time of Elisha. Think of the feeding of the multitudes in the wilderness in the days of Christ, and of many other miraculous interpositions on the part of God, as well as the miracle of our very existence day by day, when we are not conscious of want. This same God lives today, and he is our God. His resources are undiminished, and he is just as compassionate, and just as ready to help the needy. We have been taught to pray, give us this day our daily bread, and we profess to believe that all that we have comes from him, and that our existence depends on him. Yet when trouble comes, we are likely to act as though God did not exist, and everything depended on ourselves. Do you not see why these hard times are allowed to come upon us? They are to test our confidence in God. Shall we trust him in the time of trouble, even to the last extremity, and experience a wonderful deliverance? Or shall we trust in ourselves, and multiply our troubles? E.J. Wagoner.